huddle up.
66 HitchX Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby. Boom.
Hardest hits. Woo! And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Right on schedule, a Sunday edition of Sunday Huddle on ESPN 106.3. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Colin Russo with you. We got Cade Shumsler behind the glass. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, a day removed from the 14th annual 2025 Top 63 Awards, which we had yesterday at Kaiser University over here in West Palm Beach, where we honored the top 63 football players in Palm Beach County in the Treasure Coast, as well as the top 20 flag football players in the same county. It was a great event. Everybody had a wonderful time. Big shout out to all of our sponsors and partners that came out to support the high school football scene as the season sort of kicks off in just about 5 days with our kickoff classic. So that was a lot of fun. Appreciate all the coaches who joined us on that. You could catch the full stream and all the coverage on our socials at ESPN West Palm, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X, and ESPN Top 63. ESPN's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Go download the app today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Go get started because you could just deposit $5 into the Hard Rock Bet app, just five, and you get $150 back in bonus bets. That's right. You heard that right. That's $150 in bonus bets if you deposit just a $5 bet. You got baseball season in full swing, and you got a lot of teams in free fall and some of those second half rising teams that made moves at the deadline. The Cleveland Guardians are playing a little bit better, and the New York Yankees are falling out of the wild card spot. The Cleveland Guardians literally had two pitchers gambling against themselves, and they sold at the deadline, and they're neck and neck with the Yankees, who bought the deadline and have a $400 million payroll. That's just baseball for you. We also have football kicking off in just about a couple weeks on the college side, and you still got about a month until you see it on the NFL side. But you could still get started and bet some of these futures game by game, individual player awards, and you could bet the preseason. The preseason had a huge day yesterday and the day before, and even some games today, and you can catch all the action on the Hard Rock Bet app. Try it now. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. Well, Cade, we're in the preset of what the football season's really about because we don't have necessarily the regular season games yet. But the fun part about August is this is when people draw conclusions because they have to. Why do they have to? Because it's fantasy football season. During fantasy football season, especially draft season, it is up to everybody in the league to try to determine via preseason and via training camps who's going to be a big-time player, who's going to be a big focal point in their offense, who's going to be healthy, and what rookies, more importantly, are going to be guys that are called upon early that could be sort of those league winners. Fantasy football is a great time of year. I know in the next probably 2 or 3 weeks is fantasy football draft season. Some people like to go later. I got one in about a week and a half, and I got one in 2 weeks. So I'm sort of in the mid-end point of August is when I'm doing mine. But the thing about fantasy football season is you sort of just have to stick to your guns, especially if you have multiple teams. I have a philosophy about it. I only have two leagues, and one of them is a 12-man, and one of them is a 10-man. Been the same one for about, I don't know, 12 or 10 years. And I try to get as many of the same players on both teams as I can. Obviously, it's not going to be perfect. It depends where you fall on the draft board. But those middle, there's fourth through sixth, seventh round players that are sort of give or take each side. I try to get as many of the same guys because I don't like conflict of interest. I don't like in one league when I'm playing this player, whereas in my other league, I have that player playing for my team. That's my biggest pet peeve with fantasy football. Sometimes you can't do anything about it. But Cade, fantasy football season on the horizon. How many leagues are you in, by the way? And number two, when does the season kick off for you?
I should be in four, but there's a few owners of the leagues who haven't necessarily confirmed if they're coming back or not. So I think it'll be between two and three. I'm in two normals and a dynasty for the first time. So we did we drafted the first team of the dynasty last year, and so this is going into year two of the
dynasty.
Now
you just draft rookies, right? That's how the dynasty works. I'm not in a dynasty.
No, so how dynasty, at least from my understanding, is to start before the draft happens, you get to get rid of players you don't want, and then the draft is those players plus the rookies.
Okay.
So you go through your roster. So you keep everyone you had last year. You go through your roster and you're like, okay, who don't I want?
Because you got to get rookies in there.
Exactly. So you pick and choose which players you don't want. Those players go into a big pool with the rookies.
Like a draft pool.
Exactly. And then we do a draft again to refill your rosters.
I see. Only a couple rounds, I assume, right?
It probably depends on how many people get rid of players on the. Like, if you want to get rid of your whole team, then you'd have to redraft a whole new roster.
Right.
I kind of like my roster right now. It's a 12-man league. My quarterbacks are CJ Stroud and Baker Mayfield. I like both those options. I've got now J.K. Dobbins, I thought was going to have a huge year with the Chargers. Didn't really happen. Now I'm probably going to get rid of him. Next running backs up for me would be Joe Mixon and Breece Hall.
Yeah, you need a running back.
Breece Hall and Joe Mixon, not necessarily terrible.
No, you need a rookie running back, yeah.
I'd probably go for a rookie running back, but I also just didn't know this was going to happen. I picked up Nick Chubb last year at the very end of the season when he got healthy. Now he's with Houston. I have Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb.
You got to hope that offensive line in Houston is going to do a good job.
True. But at least I'm going to get one of the starting running backs in Houston.
You have a lot riding on that Houston offense.
I do.
Did you have Tank Dell in there as well or Nico Collins?
No, I just went for the running backs.
Dalton Schultz, you have him?
Nope.
No, okay, all right. So you
I have Kaimi Fairbairn.
If Houston has a bad week, Cade has a bad week.
I do.
Your team loses. Your fantasy team loses.
And fantasy-wise.
Your fantasy team loses. Your favorite team loses. Oh, God.
I don't know. I've got the Eagles defense. I've got Devontae Smith. I've got Evan Ingram, who's a decent tight end. I don't know. There will be some
now,
choices.
Do you like the dynasty leagues? I've never been in one.
Well, this is my first time, so I'm picking and choosing.
I don't like the idea of having the same team 2 years in a row. I don't like that. I like sort of the starting fresh. I like sort of giving it, because if somebody has a great team, three great players that are perennially great. If somebody has Jamar Chase, Patrick Mahomes, or Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and Jamar Chase, or something like that. They will dominate the league for years to come.
Well, so one of the extra rules that my commissioner put in was that there's the starters, there's the bench, and then there's what we call the taxi squad. Now, the taxi squad in the app that we're using, the taxi squad allows you to draft rookies, put them in the taxi squad, and you are guaranteed to have them the next season. You don't play them at all their first year.
It's like a red shirt, but you need to keep them in the taxi
yes.
squad.
Yes. My two taxi squads are Trey Benson, the running back from Arizona,
yep.
which wasn't amazing, but still will be there, and Brian Thomas Jr. of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wow. Okay. So you're in good shape. So now this year you could play Brian Thomas.
Exactly.
Nice. All right. You're in good shape with that. Yeah. I've never been in a dynasty league. I like the idea of starting fresh year in and year out. All right, let's talk philosophy a little bit. When you're drafting, let's do the year-by-year teams, right? So you're trying to start up, and how big are your leagues that you're in that are just the normal standard leagues?
It'd be the 10 or the 12.
So you're in a 10 or 12 as well.
I grew up playing with just a four-man team.
See, that's a waste of time.
And that was a blast.
Nope, not a blast.
No, when you're a nine-year-old kid, though.
You just want to see points, yeah.
I started it when I was nine,
and
I finished
points.
It through high school with just my family. That was a blast.
Yeah, it's a waste of time, but I agree. Like, when you're a nine-year-old, I imagine it's fun. Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of those like six-man leagues, and everybody just got all pro.
They're great.
Please, guys, please. This is stupid.
180 points every week.
Yeah, weirdly enough, throughout my fantasy football history, I've had more success in the 12-man league than I have in the 10-man league. I think it's because you got to think a little bit harder about who the under-the-radar guys are going to be, and I like that. I like finding a niche rookie or a niche tight end. I'm good at that for some reason. I've won that league like three times. And the other one, the 10-man league, I struggle a little bit more in. I think it's because every team has got a lot of talent, and I think I just had some bad injury luck. Now, with my drafts, 10 or 12, I always go running back early, usually without a doubt, unless I'm in a situation where you make or break a call. I don't necessarily go in with a huge plan, but I do know that I like having a very, very good quarterback, and I like having at least early running backs on my team. The receivers, I think you could figure out as you go along. The tight end, there's plenty of good enough tight ends that get you by. I am a big running back and quarterback fairly. I'll get one of the first three quarterbacks off the board. I will always get a Lamar or a Josh Allen or something like that, just because I think people say you don't need quarterbacks. I disagree. I think at least in standard leagues where, especially if a quarterback is a dual threat and can get points on the ground as well, I think it's more valuable than any running back or receiver you could possibly have, especially if they're consistent. Because if you get, I don't know, let's say you have Sam Darnold last year as your starting quarterback, who had a good year, who was up and down individually statistically, but, you know, he'll win you a couple games here and there, but he's not going to beat you every, he's not going to win the game every week. I had Lamar last year, and Lamar was unbelievably good. It's a free 30, 35 points a week comparatively to, you know, you're dancing with 13, 14 points and a 25-pointer. I think a quarterback is, that's always been my philosophy. Running back early and quarterback early. What about you?
I've always been running back and wide receiver like the first six rounds. Like, grab me three running backs, grab me three receivers, give me someone to fill the majority of this roster. Then I go after the quarterback, whoever's left at seven, and then I'll probably get the top defense at eight. That way I have one of the best of every position available. This year I might take that strategy a little bit different. It used to be, there used to be a lot more parity when it came to quarterback fantasy-wise, right? Everyone was good. Everyone had a good wide receiver.
You're talking about like the pocket passer league, you know, when everybody was throwing three touchdowns, 310 yards.
100%. It has since changed to the top of the top who can both pass and rush, and the bottom of the bottom who don't necessarily have anyone to go to.
Who are inconsistent, yeah.
You also haven't seen a lot of elite wide receiver quarterback duos. Like, what would you consider? Probably Chase Burrow would be the number one quarterback to wide receiver duo.
Yeah, and then like whoever Justin Jefferson is playing with, do you even count that? Probably
right?
Not.
Okay, Tyreek Hill with Tua. Maybe. It's not like he was with Patrick Mahomes, okay? Back when I was like, when we were talking about the pocket passer quarterback league, right? You had
Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Ben Roethlisberger,
Drew Brees, Michael Thomas.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown.
Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson. Back when that was elite. Those were
Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams.
Okay, there's not that many of those anymore. Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield, but Mike Evans will just get you 60 yards and six catches, 12 points a week. He's not going to go out for 30. So the strategy on that aspect is not there anymore. So what I'm probably going to do this year, I'm going to hit that running back early. Maybe the first one for sure, maybe the second one.
Yeah.
But the running back depth this year is honestly a lot bigger than years past. In years past, it was like, grab that number one running back. There's a lot more wide receiver ones and twos and threes who will be able to get you points. You can't really get a whole lot of points with running backs, twos and threes. This year, not necessarily the case. If you go on the ESPNFantasy.com or on the app and you start looking at the rankings, the running back ranking depth is massive. Breece Hall right now is at 18. And we just had him at like 2 or 3 2 years ago. He's at 18 this year.
Now he underperformed, and that's why partially he's at 18.
But that is a solid number one running back. Aaron Jones from Minnesota, who you've talked highly about, is 22 on this list.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be playing with a first-year quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. You'd assume he's going to get some touches. From the wide receiver's perspective, I'm looking at Davante Adams, who's the number two out of L.A.
Yeah, the Rams.
At 14.
Mm.
That should be a starting wide receiver position at 14, and we're already looking at wide receivers number twos. Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Arizona at 18, who a lot considered a bust last year. The depth for running back is so much more that I might go heavily towards the wide receivers early on, and then go for the running backs later because I know there's going to be more available.
Yeah, maybe you're right. And maybe you got to go year by year on that basis. The way I look at it is I think that the fact that there are two or three receivers in on it, just statistically, two or three receivers in on each play, there's usually one running back in on each play. There are running backs that are bell cows. I think if you get that bell cow, that's sort of in on every single down. I got lucky with Chase Brown last year out of the Cincinnati Bengals, and that guy was on the field every single play. He did not leave the field the entire game. And this was passing downs, rushing downs. And that was a big difference maker in my team being really, really good. And I actually have him or Lamar. Actually, no, excuse me. Last year in that league, I mentioned I had Chase Brown. I either have an option of Chase Brown or Jaden Daniels. Because it's a seventh round and on, you get to keep one player, right?
Okay.
A dynasty, but you have to keep him on your roster the whole year in my 12-man league and my 10. And I got two options. Either get Chase Brown or Jaden Daniels. And I think I'm going to go Jaden Daniels. Here's the thing. I get nervous about the sophomore slump, but Jaden Daniels was probably, I think, the third fantasy quarterback last year. I had Lamar playing the whole year, so I never needed Daniels. But I buried him on the bench, and I was able to survive. Now, I got Chase Brown, too, who I could just sort of take that and it's like your automatic seventh round pick, and that would be a steal in that spot. So I got to make a decision there, but I like the bell cow guys that are in on every play. I stay away from the offenses, number one, that are going to be down early, and I stay away from the guys that are a part of a committee. Jacksonville, the Jaguars, you want to get ETN, Tank Bigsby, something like that. That team's going to be a running back by committee team. That's the type of thing I would stay away. But you go team by team, and teams that are going to be up early, big offenses. I love players on great offenses. I hate players on bad offenses. It works for the Bengals because the Bengals are going to be down every game, so therefore they're going to be passing it every down, trying to get down the field. But I love having a player on a spread, lot of good player offense. I love guys from the Lions. I love guys from that because I just think great offense sort of, it's a healthy way to get fantasy production, at least consistently, because you're not necessarily being forced on a bad team. You're not the only game plan guy, but you have multiple good players. So this year, maybe I'll take a little bit of that, of what you were saying, less great receivers early, and maybe take and capitalize on some of the depth of the running back position. But with my fantasy teams, if I don't have two stable running backs, I'm unhappy.
Oh, so, for sure.
Yeah. And I don't like putting too much stock into rookies. Everybody loves putting stock into rookies. Ashton Jeanty this year, Omarion Hampton for the Chargers. Like, a bunch of those rookies that people are really high on, I don't love that because sometimes it works out, but it's really just a shot in the dark. And usually teams that are drafting running backs, rarely they have great offensive lines. I usually stay away from that. And I stay away from that on the receiver side too. I like to stay away from rookies unless I'm burying them on the bench or they're going to be like one of those guys that I could have as a utility guy as a backup. And we'll see what he's about. I like drafting experience as well.
I like going for guys who gave us a taste the year before and now have a chance to just pop off. Right, so I remember when I drafted Lamar Jackson 2019, I'm like, guys, he showed us something. He'll be great and won MVP. So like Ladd McConkey for this year.
Yeah, who had a great year last year.
But like never really elevated himself to the number one status in the NFL. He should pop off this year as someone who I could take, not necessarily one or two as a wide receiver, but I will get one or two wide receiver numbers from a guy who I can probably get later in the draft. I like looking for the guys who gave us a nibble. Jonathan Taylor back in 2022, I want to say it was. Like his rookie year, finished the year super strong, was the number one running back the year after. Someone who gave us a taste, finished the year strong, and now has a chance to elevate himself into that stratosphere the following year.
Yeah. And fantasy football is a great time of year because once you kind of get into it, the one thing I don't like that it promotes, to flip on a negative really quick, is I think fantasy football has sort of lent itself to people being fans of the players more than the teams. And I think that the casual football fan, if you're tuned out of your team, all of a sudden you start rooting for the player. All of a sudden Red Zone is more important to you. Watching Red Zone is more important to you than watching your team. I don't like that it promotes that. But I like the idea of sort of if you could balance both and have your team, have your fantasy team. I don't care that much about my fantasy team. I'll keep an eye on it. I don't really care. I don't live and breathe it. I used to when I'm maybe in high school, but I don't do that anymore. I care far more about my over-under picks and the Jags. That's what I care about. And the other ones, I just like watching the games to watch the games. I don't necessarily know if I love how fantasy football has made it more individual than about the team, but that's just the nature of the game. You know, I imagine young sports fans, young NFL fans who are growing up watching it, growing up playing fantasy football and playing the video games and the Maddens and everything like that. I got to imagine that they're so coded to root for the individual that it's harder for them to root for the actual team week by week. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but let's think about it. If you're a Giant fan and you grew up in the New York area, and the Giants have stunk for the majority of your life, but you have your fantasy team and you love getting, I don't know, like a big-time receiver, Justin Jefferson, every year, you're almost more inclined to root for the Vikings and Justin Jefferson than you are the Giants because the Giants are never good. That's why I think fantasy football has had a negative effect. I'm not saying it's like high and mighty, you root for your team over anything, but I do think that there's a notion to be said about how young fans watch football, and it's becoming far more compartmentalized to cater to the individual player.
Do you have any evidence of this, or are you kind of just pulling this out of thin air?
I'm pulling this out of thin air.
Okay, fantastic, because I can just tell you from experience that that's not how it works, because a lot of times a player will determine the team, and I'm a perfect example of that. I'm a Texans fan because of Arian Foster. And then I started playing fantasy football, and I drafted Arian Foster the first time, every time I could get him. Now, I hear what you're saying about maybe you are cheering for a bad team.
Yeah, I'm talking about week by week, year by year. Granted, you're not going to have Arian Foster every single year. Maybe that sparked your actual fandom, but I think...
I told people I would quit leagues if I didn't get Arian Foster
rooting for your team year by year.
What I'm saying is it's not a bad thing to be cheering for a player if that player eventually turns into the team.
But that doesn't always happen. Keep that in mind. Let's say, like, well, yes, that one player they got when they were 10 years old led to their fandom of their team. Let's say the Colts. And the fact that they love the Colts so much, and that's fine. But year by year, once they, if the Colts have a couple down years, therefore, but you're still into the fantasy, are you going to be more into the Colts winning seven games with Shane Steichen, or are you going to be more into your fantasy team and Justin Jefferson on your fantasy team playing great and more, therefore the Vikings playing great?
So are you, but it sounds like you're saying it's a bad thing to be cheering for players than a team.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying it divides the fans' attention. I think that, I think
but they're still
totally
football fans, because I think what fantasy football
is trying
to do.
I don't think it hurts football fans at all. I think it just makes it a little less about the team and more about the player.
Well, that's a great observation, Colin. Well, you just made this whole rant about how it's like detrimental for...
I don't think that's a positive. I don't think that's an ultimately a positive. I think it's good for football fans, but I think you don't think
if you're bringing in more dollars because more people are watching the football.
I mean, yeah, you're talking about from a business perspective, yes, but I'm talking about from a fandom perspective. I think the NBA deals with this. The NBA has a major problem with individualism and guys rooting for the player rather than the team. I think...
Why is that a problem, though?
You're talking about regionality of rooting for rooting for teams. I think it's sports is meant to be, you're meant to root for the team. You're meant to have a ride or die mentality with the team that you're rooting for. I don't think that happens as much nowadays. I mean, yes, there are the hardcore fans that pick it up from their parents and they pick it up from who knows, but there are a lot of fans who just root for players. And it's not how I do it. I don't like it though. I think that's a negative. And whether, yes, you're right, more eyeballs in the NFL. The NFL is a bulletproof. We all know this. But you can't tell me that now versus 10, 15, 20 years ago, even 5 years ago, you can't tell me that people are more team-oriented now than they were 10, 15 years ago. I think that's what fantasy football has done. It is. Why has red zone become so big in the last 10 years? Because people, it's literally made for fantasy football. It's made for scoring. It's made for red zone opportunities. Yes, it's great to see the action. That's technically like the brainchild behind it, but it's made for fantasy football. It's made so you can see every score from every team, every turnover from every big moment from all around the league. It's a great product. There's no doubt that I don't like red zone. There are people that watch red zone over their teams. That, to me, sort of counterproductive.
Well, because that's... If you have a team that stinks, why wouldn't you just want to watch red zone? Like, I think it's okay if you are a diehard sports fan of a team, then watching red zone outside of your own team. Like, my dad's a Minnesota Vikings fan. You think he wants to watch that team each and every week, at least for the past 10 years or so? No, he's a football fan. He wants to watch football. He wants to watch good football. And I think that's what football fans want to do. And then fantasy football is an addition to that, where they can actually cheer for someone else besides the team that they're stuck with or that they're good for.
Take an over-under. Come on. Grow up. Take an over-under and take a team. Take a team.
What's an over-under if you're not betting on an over-under?
You can take it for fun. Take the 8.5.
That's fantasy football.
No, but on a team. We're rooting for a team. I think there's something more honest about rooting for a team comparatively to a player.
I need you to make like an app that is fantasy football for over-unders, and that they can choose that. That's what you want.
I think the over-under win totals, I've been doing that since I was a kid, so I love the over-unders. It's just always been my favorite thing. But yes, you're right. I should make an app that caters more to picking over-unders, competing in a league about it with your friends. But you have money into it if you want to, but you take over-unders on teams. That's what I would like. make a draft and draft teams on the over-unders. How about that? That's actually not a halfway bad idea. You draft teams and you draft the over-unders of different teams. So, for example, if you wanted to take the Eagles over on the team, that'd be number one round one overall pick, right? That'd be the number one overall pick. Getting the Eagles over, then the Bills over, and then you do like this team's under. There's something there. Hold on a second. We might just come up. You know, you hear what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
It's not a bad idea. And all of a sudden, you realize throughout the year, I got a really good team because I'm going to hit this over, that over, this
well, here's
under.
Here's what we're going to do. Well, we actually already have an app here at ESPN West Palm. It's called ESPN South Florida. Go download it today, ESPN South Florida. You can catch Sunday Huddle. You can catch Theoretically Speaking. You can catch Russo and Rizzo. All of our local programming right on one app. You can catch Inter Miami live sports action, live Inter Miami action with the ESPN South Florida app. And I honestly think, Colin, we have the options to design this app
for ourselves. Let's just add a new element to it.
Add
a league-based over-under selection process in a league.
We can technically do this.
Bring back rooting for teams, not players. Kate Chums and Colin Russo will do a little headline hierarchy on the flip side of Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3.
West, right, tight. F left. 372 Y-Stick Z-Spot.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Well, on the topic of fantasy football, one of our interns here at ESPN West Palm, AJ, did a text, and he texted me. He's listening. He goes, I did kind of a mix of this fantasy and team-based thing last year. He did a league with his friends where they picked a team and just drafted players from that team, so you have to root for that team. Here's the kicker. That team cannot be the team you're a fan of. So it sort of restricts who you could draft to a team, but it keeps you on that team. There's a good in-between. I don't hate that at all. Kate Chums and Colin Russo at Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. And is Jaron Levine accident attorneys? If you've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they're here to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Why settle for just any attorney? Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. All it takes is one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation today. That call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. All right, Cade, it's time for us to bounce around. It's time for me to see if I could rank headlines properly. It's time for us to do a little headline hierarchy.
Five mystery storylines from the National Football League.
I thought this would be purposeful on Cade's part.
One Colin Russo hoping to not bury the lead.
This is not a big-time headline.
It's time for the headline hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
That's right, Colin. It's the headline hierarchy. And last week, I saved what I thought the best for last was. Now I'm going to hit you with it first. The Top 63 Awards concluded last night with one of the best top 10s ever at ESPN West Palm. Number one, Javian Mallory of West Boca. Number two, Champ Smith, Vero Beach. Number three, Adam Balagun Ali, Cardinal Newman. Number four, Ephraim White, also Vero Beach. Number five, Jaden Broadnax, West Boca. Number six, Jordan Crutchfield, Vero Beach. Number seven, Antoine Sharp, Palm Beach Central. Number eight, Dylan Faison at St. Andrews. Number nine, Jyron Hewley at Cardinal Newman. And number 10, Javari Lucas from Glade Central. This top 10 has over 300 college offers from across the entire United States. And what a night it was last night. Colin, your first headline that you're going to have to rank is the Top 63 Awards.
I mean, comparatively to what we're up against, I mean, I don't know what else can possibly go number one. So I'm going to put this at number one just because
it
was a great event locally. The community came out. The high school athlete came out. There was, I believe, the majority of the list was there in person. The amount of talent that walked through there, I mean, it was second to none. Cade was 100% right. A lot of great players that are going to be playing on Saturdays and eventually Sundays were in the building. It was a lot of fun. That's got to be number one.
Dude, it was such a great night. Such a great atmosphere. Such a great turnout. And everyone did their part. Well done to yourself. Theo Dorsey emceeing the event. Christina Costanza, our marketing director, who put the whole thing together. It was just a great team effort. Just putting a little pat on the back for everyone in the office and everyone involved. So here's number two. Shedeur Sanders. Of course he's back. Of course he's back in our headlines, Colin. And he had a little bit of a ruffle with one of the reporters after what was a pretty darn good first look at the NFL. Here's Shedeur Sanders in the tunnel after the game.
Tony, I be hoping you got something positive to say about me. You only say negative stuff about me. And I'm like, I ain't do nothing to you.
No.
I ain't seen nothing positive that you ever say.
This is a little bit of an interesting debacle here. Colin, what do you think of Shedeur after the game?
So for those who didn't catch that, that was Shedeur Sanders in the post-game tunnel talking to Tony Grossi of ESPN Cleveland, basically saying, I never see anything positive you say. You never say anything positive about me. He's like, I don't even know you, number one. He's like, two, I didn't do anything to you. You never say anything positive. What do I think of it? I mean, it's kind of like a nothing. What is it? The first guy in the history of Shedeur Sanders' athletic career that he had somebody say something negative about him. That guy's had negative hit pieces on him for 4 years, ever since he got started at Colorado. I doubt it really bothers Shedeur. It was sort of a rub it in your face moment. But in terms of what I made of his debut, I can't read too far into it. He played well. If he played well or played bad, you wouldn't be calling fire if he played poorly. And you shouldn't be calling singing his praises if he played great. Sort of in between. He did what he was supposed to do. You'd rather see positives than negatives. But I can't necessarily write home about this. This is going to be number four for me. Number four. That's where I'll put Shedeur Sanders confronting reporters after his first preseason game. Number four.
All right, so we got the 1 and 4 slots filled up. Number three on the headlines, I'm going to give you another rookie who debuted fairly well. Cam Ward of the Tennessee Titans going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He goes 3 and out with 2 incompletions on his first drive. And then his second drive goes 5 for 6 for 67 yards and eventually leads the Titans in a 75-yard touchdown drive. Was pulled out of the game after that. Fairly good drive, 1 3 and out for Cam Ward. What do you make of this rookie's debut?
I'm going to put this at number three because Cam Ward, it's amazing how little he is being talked about as a number one overall pick. Just compare it to what we saw last year with Caleb Williams. Basically, what he had for breakfast was on the front page of the Times. And comparatively, Cam Ward, we haven't even seen what he's been up to. We haven't heard much about him from Titans camp. Honestly, I think this is a good thing. I think Cam Ward being in Tennessee, which is a smaller market team with not a lot of expectations, doesn't necessarily scratch that itch of NFL media. I think this gives him a good opportunity to sort of settle in. I don't think that team's going to be very good this year. I think he's going to have problems in the early part, whether as a team and individually, but that's fine. And that's what you're a number one overall pick. You're not walking into a great team. Everybody should know this. Bryce Young had issues. Caleb Williams had issues. Trevor Lawrence had issues. This is not Andrew Luck walking into the Colts and them immediately being great, because that was just a dime a dozen situation. He's going to struggle. That's okay. And I like the idea that he almost has no expectations and everything to gain, nothing to lose. That is a good thing for me. This is number three.
Two more left. Did you see CeeDee Lamb on the sideline of the Cowboys game last night? Dude. He's trying to celebrate. He's in the way of the play and gets absolutely bulldozed by the referee and then gets a penalty for it. It was glorious. CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys off to a great start, Colin.
Yeah, great start for CeeDee Lamb. This could be number five for me. I think it was a hilarious video. Hilarious video. CeeDee's like, pointing down the field and telling them to march, and the ref just comes in and bulldozes. He's right, though. You gotta stay off the sideline. That's a golden rule. Sean McVay has somebody employed on the staff to keep him off of the sideline. CeeDee Lamb, it's no different. You got bulldozed. At least he was okay. So no major issues there. But this is going to be number five for me, as CeeDee Lamb getting trucked by the referee in the first preseason game.
One of the best pieces of media we've seen all year from the NFL. And finally, this has to go in your number two slot. It's your boy Cam Little from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
I'm 70-yard field goal? And this is what it sounded last night on the broadcast.
Listen, we're not joking. This kid can really drill the ball.
Holy smokes. They got a shot.
He just kicked a 70-yard field goal. Are you kidding me?
Crazy.
I've never seen that. The NFL record.
Not the official NFL record because it's preseason, but holy smokes, Colin, you got a leg there 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Cam Little's my guy. It's a shame he did that because now everybody's going to go after him in fantasy, and I wanted him in fantasy, so I'm not sure if I'm not going to reach for a kicker. But this is number two. Happy this is number two. I think I did this list actually perfectly today. Cam Little, I mean, remember the name. 70-yard field goal. Has there been a position in the NFL where we've seen such exponential growth in just the ability of the position in the last 15 years? It is unbelievable how much better kickers have gotten in the last 10 years. 15 years even. Yes, Gostkowski was fantastic. Justin Tucker's the best kicker ever. But I think just in terms of kicking theatrics and heroics, it's incredible. Just the legs that these guys, in terms of power, these guys are unbelievable kickers. Just in terms, like, 60-yarder would have been unfathomable 20 years ago. A 55-yarder was risky. A 50-yarder was risky in the 90s. And now we're talking about a 70-yard field goal, and he would have drilled that if you looked at the video, which you could catch on all socials. He would have hit that from 73, 74. That is unbelievable. Shows that the Jacksonville Jaguars can score basically anywhere within that 40-yard, that their own 40, which I love. Anywhere with it, with between them and that 40, they could go for a field goal, and I'm completely fine with it.
Yeah, in Jacksonville too. That's the thing. There's no elevation on that ball either. You're in the wet, humid South Florida night air. That's about the heaviest ball he could have kicked in the country. You go anywhere else, it's going to fly a lot farther too. That's crazy. Yeah.
Good for Cam Little. He's a premier kicker. Thing about kickers is you have to be on a premier offense to be a premier kicker in this league. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are not a premier offense, but he is still a great kicker. The Jacksonville Jaguars got good special teams. They got a great punter too in Logan Cook. That's number two. I think I nailed this list.
I think you did too. The ESPN Top 63 Awards, number one, Cam Little's 70-yarder, number two, Cam Ward making a solid debut, number three, Shedeur Sanders antics in number four, and CeeDee Lamb getting trucked at number five. I give it an A+, Colin.
Yep, sign me up. Happy with that. Take it to the bank. That was our headline hierarchy of August 10th, where Cade gives me 10 blind headlines, and I rank them. Think I nailed that one, 10 out of 10. The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, it's coming back for its 12th season. Mark your calendars. Tuesday, December 23rd at 2 p.m. at FAU Stadium at Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. The game is going to air on ESPN. It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the Group of Five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. More information at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl or Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates as we inch closer to college football season and therefore bowl season. 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, Tuesday, December 23rd at FAU Stadium. Cade Chums and Colin Russo with you. That 70-yard field goal, sign me up. I'm telling you. Let them kick a field goal every time they get past the 50, and Colin's a happy camper. Because I don't like when they try to just bury the team within the five and the field position game. Kick the field goal. Kick it every time, especially if you got a guy with a leg who wants to do it. Greg Zuerlein was somebody who always did it, 10 years ago with the Rams, and he was the Cowboys. You know, it still was kicking for a while, but that was the Greg the Leg. That was the guy who sort of popularized going for the 60-yarder. I remember the 62-yarder was a big headline. You remember that? I remember
remember the Matt Prater 65 that broke the record, or 64 that broke
the record. Yeah, that was 64. And I think the one before that was like a Zuerlein 62. And it's just inch by inch, but now we're at a 70, and it seems fairly casual. Unbelievable. Well, puts the book as we send you off into your Sunday drive on this August 10th edition of Sunday Huddle. Puts the book coming up with some MLB picks on the flip side. Stick around for it. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet, ESPN 106.3.
Daisy right, Soy, Blitz right, Travolta right, Pumpkin left, Alert Charlotte left, on one.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet, ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo with you alongside Kate Chumsen. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, /X at ESPN West Palm. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Sunday morning here, August the 10th, 2025. Inching closer to football season and inching closer to betting season. You can bet in baseball right now, or you can bet in the NFL college futures right now, because it's a whole lot of fun. Little League World Series going on as well. The Hard Rock Bet app, go download it today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Get $150 in bonus bets if you just deposit $5. Five into $150 in bonus bets. That's how easy it is to get a big payday over on a Hard Rock Bet. Baseball season's in full swing. You don't even want to sweat out all nine innings. You could bet if there's just a first inning run. You could bet inning by inning, player by player. Player props, over-unders. Kate and I are going to do that momentarily. Also, take advantage of the Heisman odds. Take advantage of the national championship odds. Take advantage of the ACC title, SEC title. Take advantage of all these futures, because I love futures and you guys can go get started. And if you don't even know what to bet, check out the Discover page, see what other users put together themselves in terms of parlays or single bets utilizing profit boosts and promo boosts that the app has to offer. You can tap, tag along. It's that easy on the app. Check out the Discover page there. It's Hard Rock Bet app offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus, physically present in Florida. The wager, terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. All right, Cade. Favorite time of the week. Let's make some bets. Let's put our heads together. It's time for us to blitz the book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Blitz the book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Kate and I are going to go head-to-head today with some baseball picks now that we're in the thick of the regular season on the MLB side of things. We are going to take two games straight up. We're going to take an over-under, and we're going to take a player prop as well. Cade has our record, I believe. From what we've the last 4 weeks we've done this, Cade, what are our records?
Yeah, we both went 2-2 last week, so it's 9-11 for Colin, 6-14 for Cade.
Wow. All right.
I started this whole thing at 0-8.
You got an uphill battle. It's all right. We got an uphill battle. All right. I'm going to take my first team. I'm going to take Cleveland again. Cleveland's playing well. They're a bizarre team. Classic Cleveland Guardians. They're playing at Chicago today, 2-10. They won last night. They used Cade Smith as their new closer. Emmanuel Clase is getting investigated for a gambling probe, as well as Luis Ortiz. They got two guys who are actively betting against themselves in terms of performance, and that team is in the wild card hunt. And they sold at the deadline. This is a team that gave up players at the deadline, and they have players actively betting against themselves, and they're six games above 500. They're 9-1 in their last 10, and they are healthy in place of the wild card spot. Alongside the Yankees, they're a half a game back of the New York Yankees. Give me the Cleveland Guardians today to beat the Chicago White Sox straight up.
I had the White Sox.
Wow.
We didn't talk about this. I'm going with the White Sox. Now, I am going off of this solely because of Mr. Murphy's Law. Last week and the week prior, I was trying to go for bait. I was going for like minus 170, minus 180, something I thought would be super easy. I had the Mets last week against the Giants, and the Giants blew them out. This week, I'm finding a game that should be one-sided, and I'm going the other way. Give me the White Sox at home over the Cleveland Guardians. Plus 110 this time. I'm getting plus odds.
Brewers are playing the Mets again straight up. They've won two straight. They've won eight in a row. I'm going to take the Brewers again. That team is the hottest team in baseball. The Mets are in complete free fall. Minus 120 to win today at home at American Family Field up in Milwaukee. They've won eight in a row. I believe only they've done it three different times this season. Eight games in a row. Three different times. No other team has done it more than once. I'm still thinking this is a classic Milwaukee team, but part of me is going to have to change my tune eventually if they keep playing this well. But give me Milwaukee to win today against the Mets, minus 120.
We got a huge battle at the pitching mound for the Philadelphia Phillies and the Texas Rangers, Zach Wheeler versus Patrick Corbin. And I'll go with Zach Wheeler. Give me the Phillies just in a straight-up game. They're on the road. They need it badly, but I think they've got the better bats. Minus 150 are the odds. I'll take the Phillies to keep making it tight in the NL.
Reds are playing the Pirates today. The Reds have played well. throughout the season. Zach Littell is going to be on the mound, but I'm going to take the over in this one. I'm going to take the over 8.5 runs. I'm expecting some runs today. I think Pittsburgh has a terrible pitching staff and, weirdly enough, has kind of an underrated offense here and there. They could score when they need to. Give me Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, runs over 8.5.
Now go for it. I like runs over too. So I'm going to go with the Boston Red Sox, the Boston Bombers against the San Diego Padres. Should be a great battle. I'm getting decent odds at minus 115 when it comes to the over of just 7.5 runs. Just 7.5 runs. Boston pitching staff is a little weak, but they do have some decent bats. So I think 7.5 should be no problem. Boston should make this one tight. I'll take the over.
Yeah, Boston's played great as well. They're against Dylan Cease, who's been one of the worst pitchers in the league. Not just the National League, but in the league, period. And they tried to sell him at the deadline. That did not work out. All right, player props. This is where you could get really creative. I'm going to go to this Yankee game. And Houston's playing the Yankees today. The Yankees are desperately trying to blow every game they play in with that terrible bullpen that has not pitched well at all. But they get Max Fried on the mound. And Max Fried strikeouts today is 5.5, taking the over. I'm taking 6 Ks today for Max Fried, who has been a dominant pitcher, especially at the beginning part of the year, but has been a consistent guy. He's been good with the Yankee pinstripes. He's 12-4 on the year. Give me Max Fried over strikeouts today, 5.5.
You got Tyler Glass now on the mound for the Dodgers, and he's playing up against a very good Toronto Blue Jays team. But one of those Blue Jays has to crumble, right? One of those Blue Jays everyone can't get a hit on Tyler. So I'll go with the big man, Bobichet himself, under 0.5 hits. I'm getting plus 165 odds. I don't necessarily love cheering against a guy, but there's always that one big hitter who can't hit it against the ace. Bobichet's not getting a hit today.
That cleans up our Hard Rock Bet Blitz in the book. We got 4 picks in the baseball side of things. Appreciate Cade helping us stay on the air today. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate everybody coming aboard for us. We'll be back at it next week, 10 a.m. for Sunday Huddle. Stay tuned for our local programming, Russo and Rizzo, tomorrow 4 to 6. Theoretically speaking, tomorrow 2 to 4. It's been Colin Russo, Cade Chubson saying so long, ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.